Howdy do, buckaroos. This is the Mac Observer Daily Observations Podcast for Thursday, December 13th, 2018. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for having me.
Sure. I'm excited to talk to you about what we've got on the docket today. And also with me, Andrew Orr. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going pretty well. I wanted to talk to you, Andrew. This morning, you posted an article about a bill that we've mentioned on an earlier episode of the show that we sort of thought might be coming, and it sounds like it's now an inch closer to reality. You want to tell us about it?
Yes. We've got some more news about an American version of the GDPR. I'm not sure if it's the same one that Senator Ron Wyden was working on, but this new one is sponsored by 15 senators. It's called the Data Care Act, and it offers, like, basically, it companies have to fulfill three duties as part of this bill. Mm-hmm. So there's a duty of care, a duty of loyalty, and a duty of confidentiality, which I think is a cool approach to this.
Yeah. And it's nice to see a little bit of thoughtfulness put into this. I'm going to say I have concerns. And the reason I have concerns is because literally yesterday there was a hearing with the CEO of Google, and the CEO of Google had to remind an elected representative that Google doesn't make iPhones.
So, yes.
So this is why I worry, because I also know in my lifetime I have watched Senate hearings where an elected senator has leaned forward and said, please speak into the machine, referring to a microphone. And
well, that's a good generic term.
So I don't.
It's 2018, Kelly. We have to classify.
That's
right.
True.
Right.
So, like, he could have meant the microwave. Like, I just it makes me worry how there's going to be a reasoned debate or a reasoned discussion of this. Like, I'm hoping that there are staffers for all these elected people who will be able to explain to them, like, what this is and why it's important. That's the only thing that I'm sort of concerned about, is making sure that we don't end up accidentally enacting something because it was written poorly or because people weren't really sure what it meant and so didn't think to debate about it or anything like that.
Yeah. So to break it down quickly, these three duties. So under the duty of care, companies would need to reasonably secure customer data from data breaches and inform them quickly if a breach has occurred. And then under the duty of loyalty, that means companies can't use your data in any way that benefits the company while harming the user.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then under the duty of confidentiality, companies can't disclose, sell, or share user data without your permission.
Good.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So very, I mean, it sounds like we combined the good aspects of the GDPR with Asimov's rules for robots, right? But I say that tongue in cheek, of course, but I actually kind of mean it. Like, this, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Again, you know, I'm assuming that's the boiled down language, or is that actually the language that's being proposed here?
I did simplify it a bit.
Okay.
That's largely the language in the bill. It's very human readable.
That's pretty good then.
Wow.
I mean, you know, as Kelly said, that everything is left up to interpretation. I've always said, I mean, and Google doesn't trot this motto out anymore, but they used to. Well, they used to say, do no evil. Mm-hmm. And everybody, like, we know now, you know, hindsight's a beautiful thing. And I'm happy to say that I saw this coming, but I don't usually. So I'm not going to pat myself on the back too hard. But, you know, I for people that would defend Google and say, oh, no, their whole motto is do no evil. It's just such a cool people, such a good company. It's like, well, wait, like, the way I look at do no evil means it, like, the motto isn't only do good. The motto is do no evil. So that means find the evil line and tow right up to it, but don't go over, right? You know, so like, that's the concern here is the nebulousness of something that, you know, the reasonable clause in here that says, you know, find something that would be, don't do anything that would be offensive to a reasonable user. I mean, I realize we have to have some generic language like that. We can't codify everything, because codifying specific things is even worse, because people say, all right, as long as we don't do those things, if we can be creative and come up with a different thing, then good, we're good to go. So, right. I mean, so it has to be this nebulous language. I like the reasonable thing. Judges seem to also like that. You know, there are a lot of things in the legal process that are, you know, set about with the reasonable person's approach or interpretation of something. And that's not a new term for our judicial system. So I this seems like it's, you know, for something that has to be nebulous, it seems very well thought out so far. That's good. It's good.
And a thing I do like about it is that it lays out up front, like, here, if there's a data breach, like, here's sort of the steps that need to be taken. I did like that about it.
Yeah. I like, you know, like Dave was saying, evil is too, that can be misinterpreted and reinterpreted in different ways. But in this, they say, you know, don't use data that harms a user. And then they define harm a bit by saying financial harm, physical harm, and offensive harm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I like that.
Yeah. It sounds like you said, it's very human readable, and that's unusual for lots of legislation. So that's notable in and of itself sometimes. You know, it seems like it seems like something being considered that, you know, you could actually go and look at. And there's at least a couple of different websites. If people want to know more about the bill, there's at least a couple of different websites that post the full text of all of the bills, and this one should be a pretty easy one to find, and you can go read the whole thing for yourself and see what you think about it. And if you have a strong opinion about it, we would like to hear about that here. We have a Twitter account of TMO Daily, and you can write to observations@macobserver.com, and both of those will get you will get your feedback to us. We would like to have that. And Dave, did you have anything else about privacy? Because I know we discussed that kind of a lot. So
yeah, not as it relates here. I think this is good.
Yeah,
like I said, I'm bullish on this. I hope it works the way it looks like it's going. It's intended to work.
Yeah,
there you go.
I'm still worried about debate, but how it's going to get debated. But I'm hoping
that's
that
a good thing, though. Yeah, right. Because I mean, we just talked about it very briefly here. We it needs scrutiny and debate. That's an important part of it, because then when it becomes law, it's like, okay, we're all like, there's no stone left unturned here. Mm-hmm. We know what we're signing up for, and that's an important thing.
Yes. So,
yeah.
I'm just worried. Yeah. What I'm worried about is people who understand it trying to debate it with people who don't. That's the part that I'm worried about, is the education curve of having to do this. But I hope it goes forward. And I do want to point out, because we've talked a little bit about stuff like this on previous shows, particularly Andrew and I. This is separate from the thing that we talked about, I think, with John, about legal action against, like, the CEO of a company if there's some sort of data breach or something that happens. So this is not that, and that's not part of any of the discussion that's going on with this. So, because I think we talked about those two kind of at the same time, like the sort of U.S. flavor GDPR and this other bill. Or this other idea that something might come out of that. And so these are separate issues. So, and I hope I didn't just make that worse by bringing that up. But I do want to make sure that we point that out.
Yeah, that's a good mention. So this act gives the FTC power to fine companies, but it doesn't include jail time for CEOs, which is what I had written about before.
Yeah. So, but there is action to be taken, and you know, if somebody's in violation of some piece, if some company is in violation of a piece of this, then there are fines that can be levied from an organization that's in charge of ostensibly of enforcing stuff like that. So that was another thing that I liked about this, is it wasn't just here's what we want to have happen. It was like, and then if it doesn't, here's the course of action. And I liked sort of seeing that somebody had thought through, like, what happens when this doesn't work. So
yeah. No, that's important. I mean, yeah, because otherwise it's just, you know, it's a request.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It'd be great if you could just sort of not leak everybody's social security numbers. That'd be awesome.
Right. Right. Yeah. We know that already.
Yeah.
At least we think we do.
I like to think we already know that that's a thing that probably shouldn't happen. And then it did. So, you know, here we are. Right. I want to go ahead and move on now. And we have a really interesting subject coming up right after our sponsors. Our first sponsor today is Opsgenie by Atlassian. And what you need to know about Opsgenie is that incidents are inevitable. And whether those are planned outages or unplanned outages, and what it comes down to is how you can respond to it. Prompt, precise alerts are the first critical step when an incident occurs, whether you're when an outage occurs, whether it's planned or unplanned. And with applications being more complex than ever, incidents require complex coordination between operations teams and development teams. That's where Opsgenie comes in. Opsgenie empowers those teams to plan for those disruptions and effectively manage the unplanned ones. So your teams have the power to respond quickly and efficiently, and the right teams are notified thanks to integration with lots and lots of different services. So you can head over to opsgenie.com, OPSGENIE.com, and sign up for a free company account, and you can add up to 5 team members. Our other sponsor today is Jamfnow. Jamfnow helps you set up, manage, and protect Apple devices on demand. You log into a web dashboard and you can see loads of information about the devices you have set up. It supports macOS devices and iOS devices, iMacs, iPhones, iPads, even the ones that don't start with I. It supports all of those. And you can keep track of the version of operating system. You can track the serial number if you so desire. You can see what model it is, what version of things it has, and you can even manage the settings on those devices. So you can update email settings, for example, or you can lock down those email settings so other people can't update them to their detriment. And you can set up 3 devices for free on Jamf now, and additional devices are $2 a month. So if you head over to the Jamf website, jamf.com/TDO, you can sign up for your free account today. Now, the other topic I want to talk about is another piece, Andrew, that you posted about a bet, perhaps, a competition that somebody's doing to see if you can do without your smartphone.
Yes. So Charlotte tweeted this article and said, just reading it gave her a panic attack because the company Vitamin Water is having this contest. And if you can give up your phone for a year, you'll get $100,000. And even if you can only make it 6 months, you'll get $10,000.
Mm-hmm. So I also want to point out that when we did we talked about the person who said, yeah, I did a really good job of using my smartphone less by deleting all the stuff that made it smart. Charlotte said she would try that. Like, I'm going to go delete a bunch of stuff. And then later that day, she said, no, y'all, I can't do it. She was like, I looked at all my apps and it started stressing me out, so I can't do it.
This is interesting. Like, you know, there is some amount of money for each of us that would, you know, well, everything has a price. Right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, and, you know, you see these things, they'll come across your Facebook feed or whatever, you know, could you live in this cabin for a month, you know, off the grid or whatever for $100,000? It's like, yeah, okay, sure. You know, everything has its price, but that price is different for each of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean to speak for each of us here, but I didn't hear that any one of us went and signed up to be considered for this particular study. But there are people out there that would. And my guess is they're looking for people like us that are willing to do this, right? People mm-hmm. that, not just people that sort of have a phone and it's like, oh yeah, I charged it last week. Cool. You know, like yeah. they're looking for people that, that charge three or four times a day, you know, and like, okay, change your life, do this thing. But you know, it, like $100,000 is not an insignificant amount of money. And if you no. think about it as an annual salary and you say, okay, you know, I'm going to quit my job for a year. Now, you know, as soon as I start thinking that way, it's like, well, huh, but then I'd want to travel. And boy, traveling would suck without a smartphone. You know, it's like you got to really like think this through, folks, before you get there, because like it's a tough path. Right. Mm. But the reality is, if you rewind 10 years, I mean, most of us, if we rewind 10 years, this is not only not a problem, it is exactly how we did things, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
If you rewind 15 years, it is definitively how we all did things.
Yes.
Right? Yes, we might have had, I certainly had a cell phone, but it wasn't a smartphone. I realize they probably want us to give up everything. And it's mm-hmm. fine. But if you rewind 10, maybe 15 years, and for some of us, maybe 5 years, this is not a thing. It's not a problem. So is it doable? Yes. Is it safe to do? Yes. Is the world different than it was 5, 10, or 15 years ago? Absolutely, yes. So is it going to be inconvenient? Is it going to be more inconvenient now to do this than it would have been, say, 15 years ago? Definitely.
Oh, for sure.
Right? So many things that we used to deal with on paper, you know, we've become accustomed to and we've integrated into our society as being done mm-hmm. on phones. So, like, yes, it will be a pain in the neck, but you don't have to give up your laptop, right? You know, so there's still Wi-Fi at coffee shops. Like, could yep. I travel around for a year, you know, and do this? Yeah, sure. No problem. I mean, I'm not signing up. Don't anybody freak out, right?
I was going to say, we'll miss you, Dave.
Yeah, well, that's the problem, right?
I will send you, know, you messages like, via carrier pigeon and ask how you're doing.
What are the repercussions of this, right? You take a year off of your existing life. And for many people, you might not even have to, right? For us, we would have to, like, stop doing our jobs for a year.
Basically,
you know,
like, yeah.
There's no question. But and then what, right? You know, mm-hmm. now you come back, you're a year behind on a lot of things.
Yes.
How's that? Like, that's interesting as sort of a human interest piece, but... But could you resume your job? I don't know. Maybe, right. Maybe not. You know, it'd be a lot of catch up to do. So, no, I'm not signing up. But the $100,000 number is enough to make me like at least stop and think it through. Not with any real consideration of doing it. But I know there are people out there, many of whom are probably listening to this right now,
yeah.
saying, oh yeah, for $100,000, like that's life-changing money. I mean, that, you know, it in many areas of the country, that's double the average salary, might even be triple your salary.
Mm-hmm.
Like, could you afford to lose 1 year of work time? I mean, even if, again, you might not even need your phone for work. You might be able to keep your existing job.
Yeah.
And that would be the best case scenario, because traveling, you know, if you took the year off, that's where it gets really difficult to not have a phone.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you could continue doing your job without a phone, mm-hmm. So now that's not even replacement money. It's 100% accretive, right? You're just yeah. like adding money to the bottom line.
Exactly.
You could buy your kids that G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip.
Kung Fu grip.
So there you go. There's my diatribe on.
And of course, I'm sure listeners are wondering, how would they prove this? Mm-hmm. Like, how would they?
Yeah,
you went through with this. So the rules don't go into a lot of details, but they did say that a lie detector test might be involved.
Okay,
which I find a bit concerning, because as I understand it, I don't think polygraph tests are that comprehensive. I had heard that you would get similar results as a test if you ask people questions and then flipped a coin.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah,
I don't think there's a whole lot of science behind it. So yeah. That's a little...
No, but lie detect... The concept, the threat of a lie detector test, like, most people probably haven't spent the time researching the efficacy of lie detector tests like you have, Andrew.
So yeah, that's a good point.
Maybe that speaks to something about, maybe we need to have another conversation about this.
Yeah, maybe that tells us more about Andrew than it does about vitamin water.
Whoops.
Yeah. Be cool, Andrew. It'll be okay. I
don't get caught. That's the key, right?
Always.
Yeah.
Dave has one tattoo and that's it. Don't get caught.
I do have one tattoo. It does not say
it's not that, I know. So the thing that caught my attention about this story in the first place is that I am a person who I don't spend a ton of time on my phone. Like, I'm not constantly scrolling through Facebook or anything like that. But I do spend a lot of time using my phone to do stuff. So, you know, like, I use Lyft and occasionally summon a car. And I pay for stuff at the store. And, you know, lots of, like, utilitarian things like that I don't think about very often until I'm doing it or suggesting to somebody, usually a member of my family, like, you know, you can do that with your phone. And so I end up sometimes being more aware than not of, like, all of the things that I do with my phone that are easier or more efficient or in some way than what they used to be. So, like, I've done the pre-arrange a cab thing before and had it completely fail on me. You know, like, it's 4 a.m. and I'm trying to get to the airport and, you know, the cab was supposed to be here 20 minutes ago and there's no cab. And, like, I'm calling the cab company. And of course, there's nobody there because it's 4 a.m. You know, like, making that stuff happen used to be really frustrating. And now it's a lot easier. And
That's the thing. Like, there are two classes of things that you can do with a phone and perhaps are more convenient with a phone, but there is also a non-smartphone way to do them, right? Mm-hmm. Which is like paying for stuff. You can use Apple Pay,
right?
Or you could, like, take out cash, right? You know, or a credit card or whatever.
Yeah.
Uber and Lyft, ain't no way to do it without a phone.
Yeah.
Can't do that from
your
computer.
You can't just call, like, 1-800 Lyft and be like, hi, I need a car and I'm here. Yeah, that's not a thing.
Smartphone is you know,
integral,
inextricably tied to this process. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. So, so that's where this would get interesting. It depends on how addicted, how integrated your smartphone is into your daily life.
Yeah. And, you know, it was funny. You said, you know, even 10 years ago, and I'm like, oh, I didn't have a smartphone 10 years. Wait, that was 2008. That's when I got my iPhone. So yeah,
right.
That's exactly. Right. Yeah.
I know.
Cause I jumped in on the 3G. So I didn't have the original iPhone. I had the second gen. So yeah, just over 10 years now I've had a smartphone in some form or another.
Yeah. So, and if 10 years ago, you know, you would have had that 3G for about 6 months by this point. If somebody came up to you and said, I'll give you $100,000 to stop using it, you'd be like, okay, here you go.
I'd be like,
buy next year's model.
Yeah. It's really neat, but, but sure. That's totally a thing I could do.
$100,000? How much? Okay. You know, and you'd have walked away saying, I'd have done it for 25.
US dollars? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Just so
we're clear. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're right. You would have been suspect at the offer.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the interesting part. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
I'm with you on that. Cause now I'm just thinking about, like, wow, like, you know, what was I doing 10 years ago when people are like, oh, hey, did you get a new, did you get the iPhone? Yeah. You want to see, check it out. It'll tell you who sings that song. Watch, you know, like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I feel like
I'm going to suggest this to my college student daughter because, you know, she could use money.
There. Hello.
Hey, kiddo, you want to earn $100,000 in a year?
Hello and welcome to Throwback Thursday on Daily Observations. We all talk about our first iPhones. Now I feel like we should talk about that because, it's probably been 10 or 11 years for a lot of people.
New topic for a new day.
Yeah, especially people we know. We'll have to follow up with that later. So with that, thanks, Dave, for coming by and talking to me about this today.
Thanks for having me. You made me realize, though, that the tattoo that I have is 180 degrees from the one you said I would have, because you said don't get caught. My tattoo is my wedding ring. So some may interpret that as that I got caught.
I think so. I think that counts. So
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully nobody's listening. This is true. That way you can get away with it, right? And then you still didn't get caught.
That's correct.
Thanks, Andrew, for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Andrew's getting all kinds of education over here. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. Thanks so much for joining us today. This is the Daily Observations podcast for December 13th, 2018. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. And until then, be excellent to each other.